talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And away we go. It's a Getaway Friday. First Friday in the month of December. First day in the month of December. December the 1st, 2023. Matt Morgan and sitting in for Pastor Craig this week, who is on vacation, we have Adam Lepp. Adam, how you doing?
Oh, just a touch wet, Scott. And how are you on this fine 12/1/23? And by the way, it's my half of a birthday. But you're not going to get half of Adam. You're going to get all of Adam.
Now, what does that mean, half of a birthday?
Well, there's a big, juicy one coming up in 6 months.
Oh, this is so you're halfway to your birthday?
From the previous birthday.
All right. Gotcha. Matt, how you doing?
Something to that effect.
All right. I'm doing pretty well. How you doing, Scott?
Good. Do you refer to your birthdays as big and juicy?
You know, honestly, the last time I celebrated my birthday would have been at the radio station. And before that, it had been...
Oh, that's right. We did celebrate.
It had been a while.
Yes, we did. Emily brought you a pumpkin pie because you don't like cake.
Absolutely.
That's right. 740-383-9944 is the number if you'd like to call in. 740-383-9944. Run down our big events coming up, Matt.
So on December 9th, in the village of Caledonia, there is going to be a tree lighting ceremony. Scott will be there reading 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Me and Carrington will be there singing. Santa Claus will be there with Mrs. Claus. Once again, I'm sure I'm missing something. There's a lot going on that night. And then on
6:15.
Oh yes, 6:15. Sorry.
And what are you eagle necking over there? You keep looking over here. What are you doing?
Was there a cue card or something? I wasn't sure if
you... No, he's reading. Okay. It's all memory.
Oh, he has those kind of glasses where they put the words and you can see them.
Yeah, I got...
Wait, like you couldn't do this promo?
I got the super... I got the
that's
smart
actually
glasses.
What those glasses are doing.
Holy mackerel. Go ahead.
And then on the 14th at 7 o'clock, there will be the...
Big event.
There will be the fruitcake toss.
The event of the season, we're calling it.
Absolutely. And the fruitcake toss, there's 43 people in it already. So we're going to be throwing the fruitcake, obviously. There's going to be singing. There's going to be chestnuts there. We're going to have drinks this now that I...
I think so. She's a little ticked, but whatever. Well, she's always ticked at me. Added to the list.
We'll hope there's drinks. Jack Kellogg will be inducted into the Upper Crust Society.
Singing?
Yeah, singing. It's going to be huge.
Two big plaques. Four tickets to the Columbus Zoo to the winner.
There's a prize.
There's a prize, absolutely. And the people in, we'll run this down real quick. Ted, Adam, Dr. Davis, Kerr Murray, Andy Apfelfeller, Sarah, Chip, Mr. Neal, Carrington, Matt, myself, Judy Summers, Glenn Coble, Lee, Glenn Jerome, Tyler Wilson, Ayers Ratliff, Tracy Lee, Pastor Whitaker, Bill Collins, Mary Ellen Withrow, Mayor Kellogg, Fruitcake Lily, Pastor Craig...
I have a question, Scott.
Do you not know that I'm in the middle of reading the list?
Well, it's just kind of funny.
Well, just sit back for a second. Okay. Lay back, and I'll tell you what
I've been wanting to ask this.
Hold on. Lay back.
Okay.
Just lay back. Okay. Fruitcake Lily, Pastor Craig, Ted Williams, Sheila Evans, Linda Sims, Ed, Caleb Rice, Bob Welsh, Mrs. Welsh, George Kasotis, Joanne Kasotis, Sheriff Bales, representative from the fire department, Judge Edwards, Carrie Grigsby, Caitlin from the Kroger Pharmacy, Lois Fisher, Nick Fisher, Miranda McGinnis, City Auditor, and Abby bringing the hot chocolate. Okay. Now you may speak.
I have two questions, Scott.
Yes, go ahead.
Are we only allowed to have one McGinnis? Because what about Mike McGinnis?
Nobody's nominated
so
Mike
we only
McGinnis.
Get one M. McGinnis.
Are you nominating somebody?
Yeah, sure, Mike McGinnis.
Okay, well, let's see.
He's a former football player.
The old 600-pound man.
He's a former football player.
Well, we'll see if he can make it.
My other question I've been meaning to ask you for a long time, this Mr. Neal person, would that be Neil Sedaka or Neil Diamond or Neil Young?
That's a Sarah's person. Sarah, if you're out there listening, fill Adam in on Mr. Neal. 740-383-9944. I believe Mr. Neal was there last year.
I was hoping for Neil Diamond or Neil Sedaka. We have a lot of laughter in the rain today.
We do. So that's the list, 740-383-9944. Who's the odds-on favorite to win there, Adam?
Well, you know, I go to the gym every day. And notice notice how snug this hoodie fits on my bulging biceps.
I don't notice that, but okay. Whatever you say, Adam. Whatever you got. So, do you remember the first year when you threw it back in time?
Well, it was an Ephus pitch.
You hold the record for the only person to throw negatively.
It was an Ephus, but
here comes a call. Oh boy, Adam, get those headphones up there. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, that name on the toss, Grisby, that was Carol had her at party in algebra.
Oh, right, this Mrs. Grigsby?
Well, that was the name, so it's you know, related to them somehow. And then when I was a very small child, I mean very small, the insurance men used to come around and collect your insurance at your house. And so we had a Mr. Grisby. I can remember him coming at the door, and they'd always come in and they'd say a few words to you, and you'd pay your bill, and they'd give you a ticket, and that's the way it was. So I don't know how long that ever stopped, but wasn't it ever fair communication with your insurance person? Of course, they're selling it. They're going to make it look good for you for a little bit more of this, but that was communications back in those days. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, so Mike McGinnis, the 600-pound life man, now in the fruitcake toss as well, bringing the total to 44 people in the fruitcake toss. I think you just hurt yourself there because you gave yourself some serious competition.
That's okay. If I'm going to win, I'm going to win fair and square. If I lose...
Now, what is this I'm going to win? Now, first of all, you threw it negatively the first year, and last year you just won the most improved. You didn't win.
I won among station personnel. I have a plaque.
Right, but I think station personnel was weak last year. I think we just had myself and Linda, and that was it.
Well, go recruit some OSU football players.
No, we've got station competition this year. We've got Matt. We've got Carrington. We've got Linda. We've got Pastor Craig. We have competition this year.
Well, Pastor Craig is pretty buff, so he was my concern last time.
Really?
Well, he's tall. He's got long arms, so he's already got a bit of a head start as he whips that fruitcake into action.
So what do you think it takes to win the fruitcake toss? You've competed twice.
It's, as you said, not strictly a strength kind of an issue. You really have to throw a line drive because throwing it high like I did the first year will really accomplish nothing but a lot of laughs. So throw it on a line drive. Make sure it doesn't hit the ground too soon because the ground, at least last year, was kind of bumpy in the year before. And also, I think enough spin or enough inertia, whatever would be the proper term, so that when it hits the ground, it continues to roll. And because I didn't realize that the first year, it's not just where it lands before it bounces. If it lands and then it bounces along for 40 more feet, that counts.
All right.
So you can do kind of that line drive grounder.
Do you think a woman could win?
Easily. One thing about, as I've mentioned, Linda too. I mean, she seems like she's in pretty good shape and fairly athletic. As I told her, I see her as a formidable competition. I see this, and that's what's nice about this. It, almost like golf, you wouldn't look at the traditional demographic as the kind, you know, a 30-year-old man who goes to the gym daily or something. You wouldn't look at the typical demographic of an athlete or in a strength competition to determine who would be the most likely victor. And that adds to the fun, I think. I wouldn't mind seeing a women's division, but I like the idea that we have a diverse crowd and we're taking a look at the winner as a whole. Linda's now husband, a little older, but obviously he's in pretty good shape because he was very impressive.
Took you out last year.
So I'm certainly concerned in that regard. But we shall see.
We shall see.
You only get one chance is the problem. No practice.
What do you... Yes, we don't have time.
You have all year to practice.
Yes, you have all year, 11 months.
As soon as the fruitcakes hit the shelf, you just buy one, go throw it.
But if I get a fruitcake, I'm going to eat it because I like fruitcake.
I bought a fruitcake and it's just sitting on my table.
Okay, well, which one is it, Scott, so I can practice?
Claxton.
What? 2 pounds, 1 pound? Because you
know it's always been the 1 pound.
Yep, 1 pound long.
1 pound... Okay, and you wrap it in saran wrap, right?
No, I've never wrapped it in saran wrap. But
I thought it was kind of wrapped in like a saran wrap.
And the packaging doesn't explode. Okay. The fruitcake never explodes, but the packaging might explode.
Plus, I want to keep the saran wrap.
All right, here comes a phone call. Go ahead, caller.
What do you mean if I'm listening? I'm always listening.
All right, well, you know, Adam told me before the show that he didn't think you'd be listening, but go ahead.
Adam, really, you thought I would be listening?
Go ahead, Adam. She's talking to you.
What was the question, Sarah? I'm sorry.
I think you had a question for me concerning Mr. Neil.
Yeah. Was that Neil Sedaka, Neil Young, Neil Diamond, or someone else? Because I'd like to have Neil Diamond or Neil Sedaka, because if it were raining like it is today, we could all sing Laughter in the Rain.
It with you. So, he's older than me, and in my family, we're raised to have respect for our elders. It's called good manners. So I refer to him as Mr. Neil.
Oh, no!
I'm older
than
you, Sarah,
but
you can call me Adam. That's good enough.
I'll just keep calling you Windpipe.
that's fine. I think that name is actually a compliment. I like that name.
Well, all right. Keep on rocking in the free world, fellas.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Well, now you know. Your Mr. Neil question's been answered, and your Mike McGinnis question has been answered. Happy?
Oh, I am... ecstatic, Scott.
All right. 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. What a show it is today. What do you think, Matt?
I think that that it's going pretty well. I think that this is probably, like I said, never been in the fruitcake toss before, but I think this is probably going to be the best fruitcake toss that that we've had.
Why is there a price tag on your headphones?
Oh.
price or the headphones price?
price for the headphones.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, here's my guess. What I'm going to say, and this is just my feeling on the whole thing right now, the female portion of this competition, I believe, will come down to Carrington and possibly... Abby. Although, I have not seen Sheila or Carrie Grigsby. So I don't know about them.
I got hopes for Linda. I mean, she's got the best coach. Her husband
was
the winner.
Yeah, but Linda's competed twice
already. She's got a coach.
But I've seen her compete twice.
She's got a great coach, Scott. That's about all
I can say. The coach was there last year.
Right, but she's had a whole year to practice.
We'll see. Okay. And Sarah, she might be in there. So Sarah, Abby, or Carrington, who I think in the women department is where that's going to be. Now, the men, it's hard to say. You can't say that Sheriff Bales is not a competitor. And I don't think you can say that Bill Collins is not a competitor. And I certainly don't think you can say that, who else in this category? I don't know anything about Glenn Jerome or Tyler Wilson, so that's up in the air. I don't know. It's a tough one.
You know, if I had to place a bet, I'd have to go with Ed just because he won last year.
And Ed, you gotta say Ed.
And threw a solid 61.
You have Ed, Caleb, who's never been in it before, Matt, who's never been in it before. So there's a lot of ambiguity in this competition.
Well, I think if your last name is also a food, that should help, shouldn't it?
What do you think,
Matt? Does anybody else there also have a last name that's a kind of food?
I don't have a Pastor Craig. You can't say Pastor Craig couldn't slip in there and win this.
Heilman, is that a food? That sounds like a beer, Heilman.
I mean, there's like Hellman's mayonnaise.
Hellman's. But I think Glenn Coble could take you out, Adam.
Well, right, because I call him Glenn Corn on the Cob, L.E. So he's got food in his name. That's what I call him, Matt. Glenn Corn on the Cob, L.E. So he's got food in his name. And he's a former athlete and sports broadcaster.
So he might take you down, Adam. Glenn Coble.
I got some formidable competition.
Certainly do.
And Jack Kellogg. Kellogg's a food. That's a whole brand of cereal.
Yes, and I certainly... Jack Kellogg might be feeling pretty good that night because he'll have received his Upper Crust Society Award.
So that'd be pretty nice. What if he wins both?
Well, Fisher, that's kind of like a food.
Well,
so.
What if he, I guess...
he could.
Gets two plaques.
He could. Well, let's talk a little bit about Jimmy Carter since we've done that. Adam, we don't have your feeling on the former president at 99 showing up in hospice care and wife has just died of 70-something years and not doing so well and it becoming a front-page story that he was there.
I don't think it was that bad. We want to see the guy.
No, we don't.
Not in
that condition.
I think you're over-dramatizing. I see where you're coming from, Scott, but I don't see it as a big deal. I mean, Jimmy Carter, enigmatic like so many politicians, not a great president. He used to be what I considered the worst president in my lifetime. He's now been overtaken to number two. But as a former president, he's arguably the best. He has come across as an elder statesman, someone who shows people good values, what it means to be a true American, to love everybody, to understand we have differences, and he's very underrated in the intelligence department. And as an aside, I love his family, my favorite being Billy, Billy being my favorite presidential sibling of all time. Also like Amy and his mother, but Billy was the bomb.
All I'm saying is that I don't know. I don't think he would have been out other than if his wife has died. And that's why I think it was inappropriate to make that a story. And you had all those other first ladies and presidents there as well. They weren't snapped like crazy.
Notice Donald Trump wasn't there. Melania was. That didn't get a lot of press. I was kind of intrigued by that also, Scott.
Well, but George W. Bush wasn't there. But Laura was.
Yeah.
Barack Obama wasn't there, but Michelle was.
It's like Donald Trump, it's like he wants to be president again and very well might be, but he doesn't participate in the debate. He didn't come to the funeral. Another story that will certainly get some tongues wagging, I think.
Well, but I don't think so because I think two other presidents didn't come either. The only presidents who did come were the current president, Joe Biden, and Bill Clinton was there.
But Jimmy Carter.
I think that probably has to do with the fact of Carter being a Democrat. So you had the Democrats there, except for Obama. I don't know why he wasn't there.
Yeah, it'd just be nice to think we can put those differences aside. As I said, I was not a fan of Jimmy Carter's presidency, but his post-presidency will be hard to equal. I mean, maybe Donald Trump's is more entertaining, but as a humanitarian, as an American and role model, I think, Jimmy Carter is unprecedented.
I don't know much about Jimmy Carter, so I had to get on the internet and read some things, but I didn't read enough to judge that yet. But
he's not ranked at the bottom of the list. I mean, he's not top tier, but he's somewhere like 30.
But I don't think that they should have been taking pictures of. See, I think if they're one of the because. I think it had to do with the fact that Jimmy Carter looked how he looked.
Right,
because
was the story.
Because if it didn't, they would have taken pictures of Jimmy Carter, they would have taken pictures of the first ladies, they would have taken pictures of the presidents, but you see a lot of pictures of Jimmy Carter, but not a lot of pictures of everybody else. I think it was more so to just be like, man, look at Jimmy Carter.
That's a good point. And the stories were, emerges from hospice care to... What?
Emerges. How do you... emerges.
I mean, I just don't understand it. What do you have to say to that, Adam?
That was not a very good choice of words. I'll agree with you on that one, Scott.
Yeah, well, why didn't we have a picture of Bill on magazines the next day? Why didn't we have a picture of Biden? Why didn't we have a picture of Hillary or Michelle or Laura or any of these people?
I mean, honestly,
none of them.
Why didn't they just try to get a group picture?
Where was the group picture?
I mean, Carter's become a bit of a folk icon. He's almost 100. We've had so many celebrities like Betty White where they reach 100 or almost reach 100. And again, you look at his post-presidency versus his presidency, totally different.
What? So this has to do with the picture in what regard?
I agree. The picture wasn't flattering. But I don't see Jimmy Carter himself as really minding.
No, I don't think Jimmy Carter, it was his wife's funeral, he's going to be there. I don't think that's the point, though. I think the point is he's a president of the United States, and that is now going to be in the book. And I don't think any other event would have brought him out except for that event, so we would not have seen him.
Yeah, it's tricky, Scott. In the great marriage, they had the longest presidential marriage ever. He's the longest lived president ever. What do you do? I like seeing a picture of him. It's sad that he doesn't look well.
But I think just take a picture of something else. Say Jimmy Carter is in attendance. Like when Nancy Reagan got stuck behind that pole at the Ford funeral. That wasn't her fault.
I mean, I'm glad I saw the picture. I'm glad I know Carter was there. Not a flattering picture. He's had a great life, and I wish him well. His post-presidency has been unprecedented.
So, in the final analysis, Matt, what do we say?
In the final analysis...
Picture will always be there now.
I think that we say that they should have taken pictures of all the other presidents and first ladies if they want to try to play it off that it was just because he was like, president. And I also think that it wasn't right to... I guess, take as many as they did. They're everywhere.
You know what was odd to me about the whole thing? When Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's, Nancy would not let him be seen in public for anything because he was a president. She did not want those to be the pictures that people saw of him. And he had it for 10 years. He was gone. He did not go to events like that, like when, well, I don't know that anybody died while he was in the midst of Alzheimer's as far as president-wise. There was a long period where nobody died. But he didn't go to anything.
When I looked up Jimmy Carter to read some of his accomplishments and whatnot, there was one picture of him in office, and then the rest of them were the picture were just like pictures of him in the wheelchair at the funeral.
Right, and it'll become a.
I don't know about the last, but that'll be one of the last at the very least pictures of him ever.
Right, which that's the unfortunate part of it. Because we're all very visual, and like I say, the problem I have again is if Jimmy Carter had just gone out on his porch or going to a public event and they snapped that picture, fine. That's on his own will. The problem here is I do not think we would have ever saw Jimmy Carter again had his wife not died. I think that's the only event that ever would have put him in the public eye again where somebody would have taken a picture. And that's the problem I have with it. Give the man some respect. Go ahead, caller.
Well, maybe one thing we're overlooking is that those cameramen have got a job to do, and they're told by their supervisors, like all of us has had jobs in our life, and they're told what to do, when to do, and how to do it. And if they wanted the superiors, the company they work for, photos and stuff, they said, I want to key in on Carter. For some reason or other, And they just don't do that freely on their own for anything, just like the reporter. The reporter has a job to go out there, and they're told what to do and what not to do. So that's just my guess what it is. And, Adam, what's the weather for tomorrow?
Fall-like.
Okay. I like your answer. Have a good one there.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, and I'm sure that the camera people were... I don't know. I don't know that anybody said get a picture of Jimmy Carter until they saw how he looked. And then I think that became the picture.
I think there was less reporting on the funeral and more reporting on Jimmy Carter showing up to the funeral.
Well, that's it. I don't think there... What was the reporting on the funeral? Does anybody know anything about the eulogies that were given? Does anybody know any... Who spoke? Nobody. But we got this picture of Jimmy Carter on the front page of all the papers. That's the problem. Herein lies the problem.
Jimmy Carter has become such a figure in American history. As long as he's been around, even his pre-presidency, as governor with a family peanut business, then when he left the presidency.
I don't think why he was on the front page of the papers. I think had Jimmy Carter come in a suit, walking under his own, 99 years old, even if he had a cane, and sat down in the front pew, you never would have saw a picture.
Well, who knows, Scott?
That's all I'm saying. Matter of fact, I remember when Barbara Bush died, who was the last first lady to die, George H.W. Bush was at her funeral, and all he was in a regular wheelchair. And, funny, I don't remember his face splattered all over every newspaper in the United States.
We'll say this, Scott. Jimmy Carter's presidency ended right before your birthday, right? Is that correct?
It's something like that,
and
yes.
It ended the hostages being released and Reagan coming into office. It was my first year of college, and interestingly, right before I joined my college radio station. So I think that timeline has a sentimental place with me.
Yeah, but I don't think those are sentimental pictures that we're putting on the front page.
Of course.
Do you remember George H.W. Bush being plastered on every newspaper when Barbara died?
I understand. I agree with that. I want to let you know that there's a bit of a bias in my assessment, Scott, because of my own connection. And it's like Jimmy Carter is still alive. He's still a connection to my college days. And I remember watching. It's like one screen had the hostages being released. One screen had Reagan being inaugurated. It was surreal. And Carter is still alive and being thought of as an elder statesman. He's just a great American. But his presidency, well, people are, at this point, putting him on a bit of a pedestal. He did do some things, but there were certainly some issues with the presidency. But he's a good man, and that is so important as we look at some of the people running for office or previous presidents. you can't say Carter was isn't a good guy, wasn't a good guy when he was in office.
Well, no, I don't think anybody's saying
that
he wasn't
personality
a good guy.
Out of office.
I think we're just saying, should the media have played that up? What was the story?
That I don't know, Scott. You're the media mogul.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what that story was. A man goes to his wife's funeral? That was no. It was Jimmy Carter emerges from hospice care to go to wife's funeral, and there he is.
Right. I mean, there was certainly sensationalism. It was a bit distasteful.
There you go.
But I personally like seeing the picture. There was distasteful aspects of it for sure.
Anyway, on that note, let's get to the subject of, is there ever a time to retire? Should you go? Especially in the entertainment and the presidency, you know, is there a time when you should say, you know, I like doing this, I can still do it somewhat, but maybe I shouldn't do it anymore because I can't hit the fastball anymore. Johnny Carson certainly felt that way. Bob Hope and Jack Benny, not so much. Certainly not Henning Youngman. Phyllis Diller felt that way. Some people retire, some people don't.
I think that if you still like to do it, and people still want you to do it, then there's no reason to quit.
But that doesn't mean you're as good as you once were. People still watch the Bob Hope specials.
I never said that. Just like, there's a lot of like players in, I don't know what, anything like sports, politics. Nobody stays at the top of their game forever. Jalen Ramsey was the best corner in the NFL for like 2 years, and now he's pushing mid.
Yeah, but do you want that? Because money doesn't mean anything when you're gone. So is that how you want people to remember you?
I mean, if you genuinely love doing it and there's nothing else you'd rather do with your spare time, then I don't see why. I mean, they're still, even if they're not, like, maybe they're not getting paid, but even, like, if they're paying you to do it, obviously somebody wants to hear it.
Yeah, but I don't think you are always the best critic of yourself. Like Johnny Carson said to his producer, he said, let me know when I've been here too long and then remind me not to go back. Because the urge is to go back. Because you do like doing it.
I mean, I think if you like doing it and there's somebody who will hire you, then there's a market for you. I think that
just because there's
no
a market doesn't mean you're doing your best work anymore.
Once again, I understand that. I just don't think...
The sad thing is, like Bob Hope, for example. Bob Hope was a tremendous movie actor. Tremendous. Hosted the Oscars for years. Hilarious host of the Oscars. In his early days in radio and television, tremendous stand-up comic. But because he lived to be 100, and because he didn't stop working till he was in his early 90s, most people who are alive today remember that old guy who came on and told some jokes that weren't necessarily topical and use the big cue cards, and that's what you remember about him. You don't remember that he was a brilliant person early in his career.
I think everybody, see, I mean, that's understandable, but I think that if you, like, talk to somebody who was around during the time in their prime, and you're like, man, who, like, what, like, this dude, and then they were like, yeah, like, he might not be this now, but, like, back in the day, he was, like, one of the best.
Right, but I don't think that's...
There's more people who knew him because he stayed around longer than there are who don't know him that don't know him because he's just not as good as he once was.
No, I don't think today that's true because he didn't retire till like the early 90s. So more people alive today remember the Bob Hope that wasn't so great. And when he was doing the bulk of his good work, which would have been in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, most of those people are gone.
They would have had to, I would have think that somebody at some point would have had to have a discussion in which they were like, man, he's not doing too well.
I think they did when he was 93. They finally said, this is enough. Go ahead, caller.
In my years of the 80s, I remember Bob Hope is going overseas to our young men and women and putting smiles and getting just moments of the war going on, and that was a true man and a true thing for the United States of America.
Absolutely, and Bob Hope, yes, that's one of the things Bob Hope was most known for, was he was one of the first entertainers to go over and entertain the troops overseas, and he did that. The big wars were Vietnam and World War II, but by the time Desert Storm came in, he was nearly 90, and they wanted him to do it again, and it was okay, but it was not exactly the Bob Hope of past years.
I mean... It's still Bob Hope, though.
It's Bob Hope, but it's not his best work.
I mean, would you rather have Bob Hope or not have Bob Hope?
I think there's a way you can use people who aren't doing that well anymore. I don't necessarily know that he has to do the Bob Hope USO show that he was doing in the 1940s. I think he can become part of the show, somebody else's USO show. And our special guest tonight is Bob Hope. Bob, come on out. Bob comes out and waves, and then he goes away.
Bob didn't like that idea.
No, Bob that didn't like that idea, and here was the problem.
That was his show.
All right, what do you think, Adam?
It is person by person.
Plus, Bob would always have these young supermodels on. Now, when he's in his 30s and 40s, that's okay, but when he's 90... Yeah.
When are you going to retire, Scott?
About 5 minutes. I feel this show hasn't been my best work, so you give it about 5-10 minutes, I'll be out of here.
It just depends. Do you still have the desire?
What kind of question was that?
Well, you were talking about it, and do you still have the desire to do what you love to do? Are you still at your best? Maybe you've lost some edge, but you've gained wisdom.
I've lost an edge.
I mean, not you, just the person who is still appearing.
Well, first of all, again, like I said before, I don't think you're your best judge, so I would not know when I was no longer that good.
Okay.
It might have happened years ago. I might not just realize it.
Yeah, I'll let you know, Scott.
Yeah, let me know. But also, I think that, yeah, well, I would want to leave before then. Sure. I don't want to just stay to stay.
Okay.
Remember how you said that, like, being on the radio is like one consistent audition because there's always somebody out to get your job.
Yes, I did say that the other night. It's true.
And that's very true.
That is true.
Yeah, but like, so if this is, like, you're choosing to leave. There's somebody waiting for your spot.
They'll take it.
When you quit.
Yeah.
Because they want you. They'd rather have you than that person.
Who, the audience?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. You never really know.
Neither does the audience. They want you.
People remember you for about a year. And then once that new person's there for a year, they cozy up to them. Yeah, I'm not going to say the name, but you were mentioning somebody earlier on, and you were saying, well, why didn't that person ever come over here? Why didn't that person do this? Why didn't that person do that? Well, you know what? There was a person before that person, but obviously they got over that person leaving for that person to become a big thing.
I guess.
Like I say, they care for about a year after you leave, and then, you know, you're just into the history books after that.
I just think that if you're still here,
you don't want them to tell you to leave.
There's still a market.
Yeah. So, do you want to wait for them to say go?
Yeah, I think
you want to wait to be fired.
I think I'd. If you really like doing this as much as, or not necessarily this, just like if you like doing anything that much, I think you should just stay doing it until there's no longer a market for you.
But there might always be a market. It doesn't necessarily doing your best work.
That sounds more like an ego thing.
No, I think it's Johnny Carson. People did not want him to go. It was his call to go, and he never came back. But that gave to his what would you say? I guess it added to his history because he never came back. He's the only one who he would not guest. He would not do anything. He really left.
And that's why I don't know who he is, but I know who Bob Hope is.
Well, people know who Johnny Carson is.
I don't know who Johnny Carson is.
Adam, what do you think? The Johnny Carson approach versus the Bob Hope approach.
It's interesting. Matt has heard of Bob Hope, but not Johnny Carson. You'd think it'd be the other way around.
I would think. Johnny Carson was much more well-known than Bob Hope. Well, I don't know if I could say that. In the later years, he was.
Let me rephrase. I don't know either of them. I know of the name Bob Hope. I don't know Johnny Carson.
Well, Bob Hope was around for 100 years.
When you're around for 100 years, you know you're doing something right.
I don't know about that. There's still people who want to hire you.
I mean, it seems he was a legend then.
All I know is do your best work until you can't do it anymore, and then go out on a high note. I think that's a good thing. Go ahead, caller.
Johnny Carson was a heck of an athlete. He could run and jump in Ed McMahon's arms in a flap.
You could. Johnny Carson was very, very fit.
Yeah, he was. Don't you remember that? Well, I always thought that was a good part of the show when that happened.
Now, do you think it was good that when Johnny left, he never came back and did anything?
Well, I think it's terrific if you can do that, and if you make the decision in your life, and everybody makes decisions up on their own wishes and stuff, and stick with it. He's just one of those things that I'm going to quit, and that's it. You know, a lot of people quit, and that's it. A lot of different habits and appearances and stuff. They just say, you know, this is the end, and let it go at that. And I think it's really appreciative that they can do that, and people still admire them, because I don't think it have any significant feeling of a good person or a bad person in their acting or whatever they're doing.
Thanks. You know what's interesting about this whole conversation? One of the great people who has been very good to me is Phil Donahue. And Phil Donahue was the creator of the Daytime Talk Show. And he hosted it for 30 years, very popular, the pioneer of daytime talk. And when he retired in 96, you did not see Phil Donahue anywhere for about 7 or 8 years. He did nothing. He would not guest as on a show. He wouldn't do anything. And then 9/11 happened, and MSNBC came in and said, listen, we'll give you a lot of money, 5 nights a week, cable television, Donahue, 8 o'clock. And he came back and lasted about 8 months, and they fired him. And that became part of his story, that he was fired because he was against the Iraq war and employed by GE and was fired. And then he kind of went back into his seclusion of not doing anything unless I called.
Unless you came to his penthouse.
Right, unless I came to his penthouse. And I don't know why he would not do interviews.
They fired him because he was in opposition of the Iraq war.
They fired him, and people could not, because he was the highest rated show on MSNBC. Not that MSNBC was doing all that well at the time, but they fired him, and they said it was low ratings. And then a memo leaked out that said, Donahue's anti-war sentiment is not good for us during a time when we're getting ready to go to war. And I think that was put in the New York Times.
I think that's more on MSNBC than...
Well, he wasn't fired, truthfully, because he wasn't doing well. But...
I think that's kind of shady, personally. That sounds
isn't that a chapter you would like to take out of you're the king of daytime talk, you invent the thing, you're there for 30 years, and then you got this 8-month run on MSNBC.
I don't know. It sounds to me like he got kicked off. He got kicked off of his own show because of his belief in on how or on yeah. Just
right,
his
that's
beliefs.
Part of the story now.
I don't think that this really reflects on him.
Go ahead, caller.
Well, it's really great. I've surely enjoyed this so-called gloomy day, but listened to all the conversation, being able to chime in on it. But Phil Donahue, when did he start on TV? When you actually saw him? I don't know if he had a radio program prior to that, but I remember when he started on TV. What year was that, Scott?
Started on TV in 1967.
Okay.
Dayton, Ohio, by the way.
Right. And you know what? I listened to that. And you're talking about a guy that got slammed, buddy. He got slammed a lot, buddy, by the press, by everybody. And some of the topics he talked to was pretty raw. But you know what? He held up against it, and he held his own, and he was magnificent on doing that, and look at the career he done. I admired him immensely, what he stuck up in the radio, TV, or whatever there. He was amazing at the comebacks that he could do.
He was. I agree with you 100. He was, you know, people often group him into being the creator of the daytime talk show, and he was, but he had a way of talking and a way of, he was so smart and so brilliant that I just don't think you can reduplicate a Phil Donahue.
Well, you've probably seen things and stuff. He went right out in the audience with the microphone, and he got the audience right there offhand. There was no practice to that. He stuck them on, and buddy, they went on. I think in those days, if anybody could be fired, you'd get fired easily for that. But they held on to him, and they knew his valuables, and he done a great thing. Thanks, Scott.
Right. And exactly right. He was the first person in a talk show. Everybody goes out in the audience now. Jerry Springer did it. Oprah did it. Sally did it. First person to ever do that was Phil Donahue. You go out and see what the audience had to say. And he started in Dayton, Ohio.
That's what's up.
Yep, there you go. That's all you need to know.
It sounds to me like he was already doing. He was already kind of doing the whole thing previously. According to him, he was.
He started on radio.
But he said that he was out there making like. I don't want to say. Offhanded. We're gonna say unpopular. Unpopular.
Well, his show
opinions.
Was very. Yeah. Well, his first guest was an atheist, and in 1967, that didn't float very well in Dayton, Ohio. And then he was the first person to put a gay person on television. The first gay marriage happened on Phil Donahue's show. First abortion. There was a he televised an abortion in 1970-something. Imagine that.
It sounds to me like he was already doing this, and then they put him back on TV, and he was doing the same thing he was doing previously, and then they fired him.
Well, that
it sounds to me like it's not on him.
Well, that just goes to tell you television in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s versus television in the 2000s. Little more cancel culture we're in now. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Hi, how long are you on the air?
Well, on the air for about 15 more minutes. No, not that long. About 5 more minutes.
About 2 minutes.
Okay. Are you going to Kroger yet?
No. What a conversation to have on the air.
You going to Walmart?
It's your mommy.
Yeah, I understand that.
So,
are you here?
Where am I going?
Well, come here.
No, I came to the Kroger and...
Well, I'm not at the Kroger.
I know. I said, this is craziness.
I'll call you when I get off. I'll call you when I get off.
Okay. What was that about, Scott?
Wait for me to come.
Just stay right there and I'll call you when I get off the air. All right.
That was a weird call, Scott.
Well, you know, they all kinds call into this show. 7403-399-44.
Oh, my Lord. What that was about.
I don't know what it was about either, so we'll all find out together.
I'm going back to Sheets later.
My Lord. In any event, should you go? That's the topic.
To Kroger?
Yeah, to Kroger. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, probably at some
should
point.
Should you go at some point based on your age and stage?
It depends, and also depends upon your role. How cerebral? Do you have to talk faster? Do you have guests that might be much younger or may not agree with you all the time? Do you still have the feistiness? Do you still have the drive? And how do you look, too? I mean, what kind of physical health are you in?
Well, I don't know if that matters in radio.
Yeah, some people have a face for radio, don't they?
What do you think, Matt?
I mean, like I had said previously, I think that so long as there's somebody who's willing to offer you a job,
somebody's
always
willing
to do it.
Listen,
they should do it.
But see, there were a market for those Jimmy Carter pictures, and you said you weren't for that.
I don't know that there was necessarily a market, though.
They wouldn't have put it on the paper if it didn't sell the papers.
I guess.
See, it doesn't necessarily mean it's right. Just because it sells.
Well, they're a business. They want something that will sell, but you have to balance
like
that.
Like, if I had to sit here and, like, do those Who's Your Daddy programs all the time, I would go. I think that'd be an embarrassment. That would be an awful career. Just to stay on the air to do that.
I mean, like, but it wasn't necessarily Jimmy Carter's choice to have the pictures taken and put all over everywhere.
Right.
But it is your choice whether or not you want to retire or come back to somebody who's offering you another job. If you love to do it and they want to hire you, why wouldn't you do it?
Because maybe you're not as good at it as you once. It's like a good relationship. You got to know when it's over. You got to know when that person has hit their stride.
I mean, even if it's not your best, like, even if it's not, like, your best anymore, even if you're not in your prime, you're still, like, you could still be good. And even if you're not good, obviously somebody's watching your show, otherwise you wouldn't be there.
Do you know how many people have come back out of retirement because people gave them a lot of money to do it, and they came back and wished they hadn't after they saw and realized what it was?
See, but that's because they came back because they were offered a load of money. But
that's usually what'll get you back.
But the people I'm talking about are like the ones you said who just never quit because they just didn't see a point.
I'll tell you an interesting story before we go off the air, just because I interviewed all the Golden Girls at one point, except Estelle Getty, and people seem to like those stories. And the big stars of that show were Bea Arthur and Betty White and Rue McClanahan. and Estelle Getty. Now, I interviewed everybody but Estelle Getty. Now, Golden Girls was doing very, very well. Now, it wasn't doing as well. It was a top 10 show for a lot of years, but it had dropped down to, like, number 30 in its seventh year. Wasn't doing as well as it once was doing, but still winning its time slot, still doing very well. And Bea Arthur said, I'm done. She said, I've had enough of this. I don't want to do it anymore. I don't like doing every week. It's time for me to go. So when Bea Arthur said she was going to go, NBC said, okay, we're going to end this show. Finale at the end of the season. Well, then CBS came in and said, now, wait a second. There's still three of you left. Betty White and Rue McClanahan and Estelle Getty. Why don't we create a new show where you run a hotel and you play your same characters, and we'll call it Golden Palace, and it'll be great, and we'll add some new characters. We'll add a young kid and a hotel manager and somebody, a chef, and we'll make this great new show. And they took it. They bought that. And so when Golden Girls ended, Bea Arthur left, and they renamed it Golden Palace, and there was all this press. Golden Girls goes on, and it lasted 1 year. And then it was gone. And for a long time, it sullied the reputation of the original series. And everybody who was in that show, matter of fact, the producer said, I wish we had all had Bea's good sense and left when we were still on top.
Yeah. Hotel shows in general, Scott, often have a rough going. And our friend Marla Gibbs, she lasted four episodes in her spinoff, even though it was actually a good show with a good cast. It's just a tricky setting for TV for some to-be-determined reason.
Leaving on top or just waiting for them to kick you out the door?
I mean, I still think that if you, like, if you want to do it, like, what if Golden Girls had just flopped?
But it didn't.
But what if Golden Palace just, it just didn't flop?
If it didn't?
Yeah.
Well, then they'd have a different story to tell.
Exactly.
But the problem
How
is...
How are they going to know if they're just like, nah, we out?
Well, but obviously Bea Arthur was a big part of that show, and I don't think they realized it. And I think that clearly there was a market to keep it around another year. But sometimes you're not looking so clearly at the big picture.
I mean, hindsight's 20/20, I guess. But I think that if you like to do it, and
somebody should have said, oh, we're losing the main cast member. You're changing the whole set. You're changing the idea of the show. And we're changing the network, the night, and the time slot. How is this going to turn out?
But it's different because you basically ran a show that was already there with four characters, and then you took out one of the favorite characters, and then you just tried to slap some new characters in there and make it a new show. That's different than just bringing Phil Donahue or whoever out of retirement and putting them on a show that they already did.
But it's not the same show they were on. That's the difference. It's not ever going to be exactly the same.
If they're in charge of the show, don't they have say on what goes on in the show?
Yeah, but you can't recreate something just because you want to try.
I mean, you could certainly give it a try.
You can give it a try, but most of the time it doesn't go very well.
I don't know about most of the time.
In any event, we're out of time here. Study His Word coming up at 1:15. Thanks, Adam, for coming in. And Matt and Carrington and I will be back at 8:15 tonight. Scott Spears for This Day, heading for the dugout.